Right now, we're pleased to welcome in District 42, Nebraska State Senator Mike Jacobson. Senator Jacobson joining us in the studio for our weekly legislative update. Mike, it's been a couple of weeks.
Yeah,
you've had a lot of Mondays in the session.
We have. It's great to have had the first four-day weekend, and I can tell you that I think people's patience was wearing pretty thin, and everybody was getting a little alley down there on the floor. And we did finally see a kind of a break in the filibuster, as Rick and I were talking ahead of time here. And so we will get back to filibustering this week because LB 574, which is one reason why the filibuster did break, is Senator Michaela Kavanaugh got with the speaker and wanted him to bring 574 to the floor for a vote. And, of course, 574 is the transgender bill. And so that's what's caused the filibuster to begin with. And so it will come to the floor. I don't know that it has the votes in its current form, but I think it could get the votes with an amendment. And I think that she's counting on the idea that it's going to fail and that the votes aren't there. But I don't know what will happen this week, but there'll be a vote on Thursday and on that particular bill. And I know she's insisted that if it moves forward that she's going to go back to filibustering, but I'd also say that not this coming week, but next week, the week after this, because the committee hearings will end on Friday of this week, and then next week we're going to go to all-day sessions, and then we're also going to start going late night. So that combination, I can tell you that it really literally has come down to almost a one-person filibuster because most of the rest of the Democrats are fed up. They've got bills that they want to get passed. They know they're not going to get heard if this continues. So even they are frustrated now. And so I can tell you that when you go all day and late night, you physically cannot do a one-person filibuster. And so it will have to break, and then we will start moving and getting some things done. So,
but it still takes a toll on everybody else.
It does, and everybody will be going late nights, and I can tell you we don't do our best work late in the evening, and I got in on that last year, and I can tell you that you can only take about so much at one time, and there's a lot of demands on your time, and there's a lot of people wanting your ear, and you've really got to be selective about where how you allocate your time. You know, I'd also tell you that you routinely get pulled off the floor where constituents or lobbyists and others want to speak to you in the rotunda.
Well, sure.
And when you do that, you've also got to keep an ear out for votes. So a lot of people have criticized senators for being present, not voting. Well, one of the problems you run into is when you get called out onto the floor or get called out on the rotunda, you hear that bell ring, you better cut away and get back and hurry back to your desk, because if you don't get there, you're going to miss that vote.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if it's just a procedural vote, it's not a big deal, but nonetheless, you get recorded as present not voting unless you've checked out. So again, it's really how do you balance your time, and there's a lot of demands on it right now, and then there's a lot of things to try to get your bills pushed through. You're also trying to understand everybody else's bill, and so now you're doing a lot more reading on the bills that did get through committee and have gone to general file. So now you want to dig into those bills and really kind of understand what's in them.
If you would, just convey to Ms. Kavanaugh that I am more than just a little frustrated with her being a whiny little child and holding up the state's business.
Well, let me just tell you that I'm going to pass that on to my wife because she does have a way of communicating with Senator Kavanaugh.
Well, do that.
We did go to Billy's here. That's probably been about 10 days ago, and there was a reception there, and so Julie and I were sitting there, and Michaela came over and joined us, and she was very friendly, and I've continued to be. I get along really with all of the senators, including every one of the Democrats, and that would include, you know, Megan Hunt and Michaela Kavanaugh and Danielle Conrad and the like. I mean, I there's no reason to be, you know, to not be cordial with everyone on the floor.
And you understand the ability, too, to agree to disagree, Senator Jacobson,
yes.
And you find common ground. And I'll bring up as well, Senator Michaela Kavanaugh in the committee hearing, was that 2 weeks ago?
Yes.
On LB 31, somewhat came to your defense.
She's done that on about three bills, where she's actually fought for my bill. And a lot of it has to do with the fact that we're going to disagree on a lot of issues, but we can also respect each other as human beings. And so we're sitting there at this table, and I'm taking a bite, and Julie says, so Michaela, tell me, when can we bring an end to this, and when can we get, you know, there's a lot of people that have good bills that they'd like to get passed, and is there something we can do to them? And I almost choked at the time, Michaela responded to Julie and said, well, you know, I don't think this is going to be able to continue a long time, and was very cordial, and so I'll have to pass that on to Julie, because I think she has the ability to ask the tough questions in a really nice sort of way. So,
and well, you mentioned that we're going to start
more
going
more diplomatic than me, maybe.
Probably so. Probably so.
You mentioned the session's going to start going into the evening, Senator Jacobson, and that's somewhat a direct result of the filibuster. Evening debate was scheduled, but it's going to be bumped up 2 weeks sooner than originally anticipated.
That's correct. Normally, we will get some late nights evening debate. And when I say evening and late nights, that generally means 7 o'clock, but it could be 9, but it can't go beyond 11:59 because you have to end by the end of the day. Otherwise, you're starting a new day. But yes, it did get moved up 2 weeks. And I would tell you that a little bit like breaking a horse, and my guess is that if the filibuster would continue, we could go to 11:59 and then come start right over again the next day. And if you want to hang in there and make that work, I would tell you that a group of people running a filibuster would be difficult to do. So it's probably one way to get there, to break it up. There's also some procedural rules that could be done. You know, at this point, I think there's been a sense that we know that we're going to be criticized. I think if the majority tries to suspend the rules, and so it's going to be headlines. And so I think enough people have to be frustrated with this to the extent that when we do, if we have to suspend the rules, that people will know that we're doing it because we've had no other choice.
And Speaker Arch addressed a little bit of that on the legislative floor, I think it was last week. And he's even had requests to possibly pull bills that have been introduced by senators, and Speaker Arch has said that he's not going to do that. Where do you stand on what Speaker Arch is doing, Senator Jacobson, and how do you feel he's doing in this very difficult position for his first go?
Well, I would tell you that being a speaker can be a very lonely position. I know it was kind of funny here, it was probably 10 days ago when he came up and he said, hey, do you want to be speaker? And I says, there's no way. No, you can have that job.
Can have everything. I'll have the 25 bill introduction.
Yes,
you can have everything
you take
else
everything
that comes
else.
With everything.
Correct. Yeah, there's a lot of power that goes with being a speaker, but there's also a lot of responsibility that goes with being a speaker. And so keep in mind that the speaker, and I saw this last year with Senator Hilgers, that, you know, Speaker Hilgers, that you've really... you're responsible for making sure that this session moves forward. And he knows that you've got to deal with all the personalities on the floor. And there are more personalities than Senator Michaela Kavanaugh. There are a number of personalities on the right as well.
Sure.
That kind of stoke the fire, stoke the flames every now and then. And that doesn't help either. And so he's really trying to figure out where's the right balance. I don't want to be held hostage. I don't want I don't want to reward bad behavior. But at the same time, I need to try to move the session forward. And you know, he has the bully pulpit, but at the same time, when you start using the bully pulpit, you can have a lot of other bad things occur. And we have the 90-day session now, the 60-day session next year. You know, these hard feelings could move over to the next session. Mm-hmm. So I agree with him that he's bending over backwards, trying to do everything he can to try to bring a resolution to this without bringing the nuclear weapons out, okay? And that's kind of the comparison, because if you start suspending the rules and pulling bills and doing things like that, that really is kind of the nuclear option, and that can have long-standing problems and results. And so I think he's doing everything he needs to do. The pressure certainly building on him. I think this week's vote We will be in a filibuster. I think it's critically important that this bill come to the right conclusion, because I think also Senator Kavanaugh needs a way to walk back respectfully from where she took herself, and we've got to give her that opportunity to do it. But at the same time, she needs to do that. And so how we get that done is going to be very strategic. So stay tuned this week. I think you'll see some interesting things occur this week that and I think what happens this week will dictate what's going to happen the rest of the session.
It's kind of interesting to see last week, too, Senator Slama made a motion to officially censor Senator Kavanaugh, and that's not something you see very often. And I heard Senator Slama say that. I was working, I have two monitors at my desk, and was doing some work on the left monitor. The legislature was on the right monitor, and I thought, oh my gosh. And I sat there and watched for several minutes. It was quite an interesting conference, if you will, with both Senator Michaela Kavanaugh and Senator Slama. And then, of course, we need to bring up Speaker Arch. And it was right. Interesting to watch some other senators try to shuffle their way in there. And it was definitely a conversation that doesn't happen too often.
Well, that's exactly right. And I was out in the rotunda meeting with someone at the time. And then I came back in, and everybody's just standing around, and there's nothing happened. I'm saying, okay, what happened?
Yeah.
It's like
like
somebody unplugged everything, and then they brought me up to speed on what had happened. And then, of course, the speaker decided not to take up the bill at that time, take up the motion at that time. I think he and Senator Slama believe that he could bring that motion back at any time. You know, I think Senator Conrad argues that you have to do it right now or you can't, but it obviously could be refiled. But I think it's maybe just a precursor of kind of outlining to Senator Kavanaugh that these are the kind of things that may come if we don't ultimately move forward with the session. We need to realize, too, that a few years ago, I don't know, that's probably been 4 years ago, when they, in the first session, they wanted to do major rule changes. And in fact, that might have even been 6 years ago. They wanted to do major rule changes. And so in the 90-day session, they spent the first 30 days just arguing the rules. And they finally adopted permanent rules 30 days in and got nothing done for 30 days as well.
No,
so this is not unprecedented, but it's getting close to that now that we're at day 45. Although we did do the all-day committee hearings for 2 weeks, and so that also changed the calendar just a little bit. But we are past the midpoint now. Now we got to get some things done.
Yeah, and that change in the calendar was Speaker Arch's idea as well. And, you know, the situation with Senator Slama is an example of how Speaker Arch is getting pressure from both sides. He does identify as more of a Republican, but he's getting pressure from his own party down there, too. And that's going to happen. It's not just a Speaker Arch thing. Attorney General Hilger's got that pressure when he was in that position, as did Speaker Scheer before him. I mean,
right.
That's just nature of the job.
No, it definitely is. And I would tell you, everybody's got their own opinions on should we have done the 2 weeks, 2 weeks of all-day hearings. My personal opinion is I think it was the right call. We had 812 bills plus a bunch of LRs that were offered. We've got every one of those bills needs to get a hearing, and you have until a certain point in a session to get those bills heard. So by devoting early 2 weeks all day to committee hearings gave us also some quality material to bring to the floor to debate. Otherwise, what happens if you're in half-day committee hearings is the banking committee, for example, we schedule hearings right away. We immediately exec on those bills the same day. We kick them to the floor, and then the speaker gets it and says, well, this is the only thing available to take to the floor. So those bills get put on the floor, and they get heard. And then we don't have to waste our own personal priority or committee priority on a lot of these routine type of bills. And so by having more bills to choose from now on general file, gives him a lot more to select from as to what to hear and what he wants to get heard on the floor. And of course, now it's also given more. We all had to have our priority bills in by the 14th. And so now everyone's declared a priority bill. The speaker's declared his speaker priorities, and the committees have determined their priority bills. So now all we're going to hear are priority bills along with some consent calendar bills.
District 42, Nebraska State Senator Mike Jacobson joining us for our weekly legislative update on Mugs in the Morning. And Senator Jacobson, when we were talking at this time last week, you were in the unique position that you hadn't quite decided on what your priority bill was going to be quite yet. But as you mentioned a minute ago, you have declared a priority bill, as your colleagues have as well.
Yes, and let me clarify just a couple of the bills. I'll quickly just kind of run through some status. LB 31, the first bill I offered was the two-person train crew bill. I can tell you that I had the votes in committee to get it out of committee, and I believe the votes are on the floor. My floor count says that bill would have passed. The problem is that the committee chair held the bill in committee, would not refuse to exec on the bill. Her position was simply that she wants the FRA to rule this summer and or Congress to make a decision. But I've gotten the firm commitment from her and the rest of the committee members that they will bring it out early next year. If nothing gets done, they'll vote the bill out of committee. It will come to the floor, and it will get passed next year. So I want everyone to understand there's three bills here that I brought that I've agreed to stand down and not pull it from committee, which was my other option. And frankly, I think I have the votes to pull that bill from committee. But frankly, it's very disrespectful to the chair when you do that. You can burn a lot of bridges when you do that. And then if you don't get it passed, then you're going to have a hard fight the following year. I think I'd rather, since the two-person crew is still out there today and it's part of the collective bargaining agreement, we can kick this to next year. And then I think we can get a very easy path to passage next year if the feds and the FRA do nothing. And unless they codify it, I think we've got an easy path to victory next year.
And the way things are going with Southern Pacific and Ohio, the FRA may get into it.
I don't think they have a lot of choice.
Yep.
I'm going to also tell you that one other bill that it was very important to me was LB 32. LB 32, also known as the Medigap bill. Mm-hmm. That's in Banking Committee. There's a lot of frustration by those who brought the bill that it didn't move this year. Chairwoman Slama did not want to bring it out of committee because the insurance companies were willing to talk but didn't have a deal done. I met with the committee and I met with the insurance companies before I declared my priority bill, and I said, guys, here's the deal. I've got a path for all the rest of my bills. I'm prepared to prioritize 32 unless I get an absolute commitment from you guys that we're going to sit down early, get a deal done, and you guys voluntarily bring Medigap into your Medicare supplement plans with a date certain. But short of that, it will be my priority bill next year. And they said, please don't prioritize it. We will make that commitment. You have my word. And I visit with Robert Bell in particular. He said, we've got the message. We understand that you have the ability to take it to the finish line. Give us this next year to get that done, and we will guarantee you this will happen. So I want people that are supporters of LB 32 that I think this is our best path forward.
And you're not standing down on this, Senator Jacobson. I guess it'd be best to say that maybe you're holstering right now, but not standing down on it.
Well, I think the key, again, is it's all strategy. And I will tell you, that is a chess game down there.
Yeah, this is chess, not checkers.
If you bring this bill this year and you fall short or it doesn't get heard, the pressure is off the insurance companies to deal. The fact that this thing is teed up the way it is, because I have the votes in committee to bring it, and I think I have the votes on the floor. So I think the pressure is sufficiently there that they will do something on their own because the alternative will be worse.
Yeah.
And so I want everybody to trust me on this one, but this will get done. This issue is not going away.
Well, worst case scenario, it's back again next session.
And pass next session.
Yep, it'll be your priority potentially.
So. Potentially would be, yes, because that and two-person crew, but I may not have to prioritize two-person crew. because I think I'll get that through without a prioritization next year.
Maybe a committee prioritization.
That would likely be the case. The other thing I wanted to mention was also I want to talk just briefly about why I decided to go with LB 644, which is not my bill. It's Senator Mike McDonald's bill. And why did I prioritize his bill? And I would tell you to read the newspaper articles this week. I have given you an update on every one of the bills that I've sponsored this year, and I can also you can also get the update on where they're at. 644 is key because it's the mega site bill, and it's calling for $160 million in funding to do work for siting for major manufacturers and distributors to locate in Nebraska. So it's Mike McDonald's bill, although it had some rural component that was very vague in the bill. I went to Mike, and they were begging me to prioritize the bill, to move it forward, and they really kind of wanted a Republican, and ideally they wanted me to carry it because they thought I had the best chance to get it to the finish line. So I said, look, I'll consider that, but here's the deal. I want 15% of the funding to be earmarked for a site west of the 100th Meridian. And they said, done. So that amendment will be added to it. And I do have a location in mind. I do have a city in mind west of the 100th Meridian that has Highway 83 and Interstate 80 crossing here. And they have an 8,000-foot runway at the airport. And they have a rail park that has recently gotten Inland Port Authority designation. And so when you...
Sounds like a really nice community.
It's a great community. It's a great community. And so that's where that money would be spent. So as I've told people when I ran, it's time for North Platte and District 42 to get their fair share. And that's going to now start happening. Last year, it started with funding for the rail park, funding for sustainable beef. Now I want to see funding for Halsey, which, by the way, that bill is going to be part of the priority bill for the Natural Resources Committee.
Oh, awesome.
And now we've taken it from being a program to just one single project. And again, I can't specifically name the 4-H camp at Halsey. So that bill will now be amended to say that it will be $15 million that will be matched dollar for dollar, and it will be located at a youth camp facility west of the 100th Meridian that was destroyed by fire or natural causes since 2021. So I think that
kind of narrows it
down. Fairly narrows it down, I believe. So,
yep, and Senator, you bring up sustainable beef and the funding that it received from the state. That would not have happened without Senator McDonald, I might add, as well.
That's right.
He really did quite the favor for the district and for the state last year in picking that up.
He didn't tell me that I owed him, but I did tell him with 644, we're even now,
yep,
and he
yeah.
agrees. but I also want to just mention that I think the great things that are going on in North Platte right now is where we've brought all of the forces together. And you look at what's happening right here between the cooperation between the village of Hershey and the city of North Platte, the city council, the county commissioners, the legislature, all of us have worked together very, very well to be able to set us up to the point to where we're seeing some amazing things happening right now. And when anybody that went to the event the other night on sustainable beef and read the article in the paper, I think it really says what the potential is with sustainable beef, the partnership with Walmart. There's some amazing things going on here. We just need to keep pushing forward. But I think we've got all the people in place, and we've got some great things happening. And I think it's going to be a great time to be in this region of the state over the next several years as we start seeing this growth really take place.
Senator Jacobson, if any of your District 42 constituents want to get in contact with you, what's the best way for them to do so during the session?
Well, they can call me at area code 402-471-2729, or they can also email the office at mjacobson with an O at leg.ne.gov. And Christina and Joe get all the emails as well. And so if I can't get to them, I'm trying to respond to every email, but I can tell you it's getting more and more difficult every day to respond the same day, but I'm trying to get through as many of them I can. Obviously, I put priority to emails that come from people in the district. So if you give me your address and your phone number so I can or phone number so I can confirm you're in the district, you will get a response. If I responded to every person, I routinely get called out in the rotunda by groups that are there that are lobbying one position or another. They're not constituents. Frankly, I'm not going to give them a lot of time because I don't have the time to give. But if you're a constituent and you're there, you're going to hear from me. I'm going to be there to listen to you. I care about your input, and I will give you the time that you need.
Senator Jacobson, we appreciate the time as always. Safe travels and good luck this week back in Lincoln when the session resumes tomorrow.
Thank you very much, guys.